tired of telling yourself, tomorrow, things will be different, only to find yourself trapped in the same patterns of binge eating, people pleasing, or just constant stress? Well, that ends now. Welcome to Ditch the Binge. I'm Renee Sager. And on this show, I'm going to teach you the tools you need to pick up sanity around food, the mindset shifts for unbreakable self-respect, and the guts to be unapologetically yourself. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome back. It is like 80 degrees and sunny in Indiana right now. It is amazing. I'm like a completely different person when it's consistently this kind of weather versus when it's 30s, 40s, gray, rainy. I mean, completely different person. A much better person. I just feel so much more optimistic. Like everything in life feels better and easier and more enjoyable. And I'm just very much a sunshine gal. I have wanted to live in California my entire life. Like way back in the day, I thought I wanted to go to culinary school. Turns out I just had an eating disorder and had to be in control of my food all of the time. But I was looking at some culinary schools. I did like a tour where I went around and looked at a bunch. And one that I loved was in Pasadena, California. And I just, that was the first time I had been there. And I loved it. I also looked at a Lutheran school, Pacific Lutheran University. No, that's where I ended up going for a year or two. Lutheran College in Thousand Oaks, California. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a quote unquote dry campus. And I was like, this is not going to work. Turns out that's just because I was an alcoholic. So it wasn't really my time in life to be going to school and attempting to study. I had to work through some things over the next 5 or 10 years before I could attack any of that stuff. But that means that has nothing to do with anything. So today, why do I have to eat to be able to focus? What's wrong? Why can't I just sit down and do my work? Why do I have to have this hand-to-mouth, obsessively eating something to be able to study, work, read, do my tasks in the afternoon, etc.? This is something I personally dealt with for so long. And it's actually something that I've been hearing, like, it's kind of come in a wave from either consult calls or randomly clients on just normal calls will be bringing this up. And I guess it makes sense if I dealt with it that you would deal with it, or if you've dealt with it, other people are going to deal with it. But I'm just surprised that I haven't done a podcast on this yet, because it took up so much of my life too. And it seems like a lot of you are struggling with this as well. And listen, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not any of that. But I'm going to break this down as to why I think this is going on. And also just let you know that, one, if that is you, if you're like, what the hell? Why can't I just sit down and read this chapter, do these tasks, work through the afternoon without 14 Snickers, you know, or 27 trips, because a lot of us are working from home, 27 trips to the kitchen. Like, I feel like the majority of my steps used to come in the last half of the day, or like the last 2 hours of the day, because I could never just sit. I could never just sit. I had to eat something. And it was exhausting and annoying, but it felt like the only way. And I'm here to say that's not true today. So if you are struggling with that, one, it's not abnormal at all. Two, it can be completely different. Like, you can be able to sit down and read or study or work without having to eat to like make you do it. Right. I remember the very first time I was able to read a book without eating. It was, I'll even tell you the book, because it was this monumental for me, because I couldn't do it. I had to have something to like glue me to the task, because I don't know. It was like I was going to itch my skin off. I just couldn't do it. It was Finding Your Own North Star. And it was a pretty good book, I think. I mean, it's been like 10 years since I read that book, but I was so proud of myself. I was like, is this what normal people do? Do normal people just like sit down and read a book? They don't need chocolate and then something, you know, salty and then something sweet and then something chewy and then something gummy and then something warm and then something cold. Like, they can just sit and read. This is glorious. So I, again, I'm just kind of qualifying all of this for myself and just letting you know that you're not abnormal and this is something that can definitely be different for you. So, you know, I've just kind of been thinking about this for a while. Like, what do I think are the main reasons why this happens? Now, I feel like in this day and age, a lot of people talk about binge eating. Well, I just feel like ADD, ADHD is just a, I don't know. I have very conflicting views on it, and it could be just that I'm dumb and I don't know enough about it, so I'm just being ignorant. But also, I feel like a lot of people just throw in ADHD into their marketing because what person on this planet doesn't feel like their brain is a tornado? Like, I just don't know, especially if you're a parent or if you work or if you have social media. I mean, our brains are just constantly being just pinged around a million miles an hour. I mean, I will genuinely be interested to see what happens with social media in, you know, 5, 10, 20 years, because I can feel it in myself, the hit that I look for when I open up Instagram, or I'll put it down. I'll be like, I just looked at this 30 seconds ago. I do not need to do this, but internally that craving, I need it. And I think I can see that contributing to my own ADHD, if you will, or just my own inability to focus on one task at a time. Like, I will have days or weeks where I'm on my phone a lot. Like, it's just, it's no good. Like, the percentage is up at the end of the week, you know, where it gives you your usage report. And on those weeks, it's challenging for me to even have a conversation. Like, I can feel the anxiety building up and needing to reach my phone for that release valve, which is often, so often what I would do with food too, right? So it's like, is it ADHD? I don't know, man. I don't know. But possibly, but also, again, I think a lot of people just use this in their marketing to try and capture you. Okay, so why do I think you're struggling to be able to just read, focus, study? Like, why can't you do it without eating a million things? Okay, another thing I hear frequently around the binge eating conversation is that it's just a habit. It's just a habit. Just, like, decide not to do it. There was a program I tried to do once where it was just like, just decide you're not going to do it and you won't do it. I was like, what kind of BS is this? Like, what? This is our program? It didn't work for me. But there's a lot of talk out there about how binge eating is a habit. I can totally see how you can think, like, I'm in the habit every time I go to study or every time it's 3 o'clock and I don't want to work, my habit is to just eat a bunch of food to do this thing. I can totally see that. And there is quite possibly some truth to that. Like, some people will think I'm in the habit of eating a bunch of food at night. And there is very likely some truth to that. But there's also almost always something else going on in addition to the habit, right? It's not common to have a habit of eating 3 boxes of cereal. Like, I'm just in the habit. No, there's something else going on. So what is it? That's what I've been talking at you for the last 8 minutes to get at. And that is, the first thing is that we build up the event. So if you need to go study, if you have a big project to do, if you have some work tasks that have been building up or checking your inbox, and you've been stressing over it. You're like, I don't want to do it. Okay, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to sit in the office. And I'm going to, you know, I need to do this for 2 hours. I really need to cram for this exam. I have so many emails in my inbox. And you've just made it a very, very big deal. You've created a lot of stress and anxiety and worry about it. The food is the calming mechanism. Because when you eat while you're doing that, it is in a way kind of a grounding thing. Right? Because you're so stressed, you're so worked up, you're so just bent out of shape over these things that you need to do, that the food, because eating is comforting. Eating is a comfort coping mechanism. It serves a purpose. It works to a certain degree. Then it goes the other direction, right? Like we can have too much of a good thing. But when you build up the event, whatever it is, to be a huge thing, you will need something else to get through it. And in your case, if you're an emotional eater, if you're a binge eater, if you struggle with bulimia or some other kind of disordered thing, it's food. It's fast. It's readily available. And the food makes it to just kind of soften the edge, right? Speaking of softening the edge, like other people you may hear doing this with alcohol. It's like, I need a drink. I just really need to take the edge off. No, it's a coping mechanism. Okay. Because you've created a scenario in your head that is very likely way bigger than it needs to be. So to combat this, because it's like, okay, yeah, that's me. So what do I do now? What do I do? One thing that you can practice, one thing that you can kind of just experiment with is make it a smaller task. So instead of I'm going to go study for 2 hours, I'm going to answer, you know, 98 of those emails in my inbox, or I'm going to finish this huge 3-hour project, or I'm going to whatever it is, like way smaller. Like, okay, 30 minutes. Okay, 25 minutes. Whatever feels like a realistic, reasonable amount of time for you, because what we're doing here is we're building up that trust, is we're creating, if you do go the habit route, we're creating a new habit, we're creating a new neural pathway that I don't actually have to have this food, I don't have to be eating to do these things. You're creating a new sense of trust with yourself. And we don't do that by going big, going hard right away. You want to break it down into a smaller segment. Okay? So I hope that first thing is helpful and something you can practice. The second thing, why am I eating when I'm doing all the studying? Why can't I just work? You just might need a nap. I know. When we eat, it gives us energy. It boosts our glucose. Okay? It gives you that push that you need to get through the second half of your day, to get through the things that you don't really want to get through. So the other option is that you listen to yourself, which is screaming for a 20-minute nap, a 2-hour nap, whatever you have the time for, or just to sit, to go outside for 5 minutes, to just rest, to take a breather, to walk around the block, to give yourself some space. But we don't do that. Like women in particular, especially if you have children. I was thinking about this morning. It's like, well, why do so many moms turn to food and alcohol? And it's what I've been talking about this whole time, is it's that pressure valve. It's because, one, the world asks a ton of you, but two, you ask a ton of you. And there's only so much you can give. And at a certain point, something's got to break. You can't do it all of the time for all of the people in your life. And so to try to be superwoman, to try to do all the things for all the people all of the time, but not being able to, it's like, I need something. I need some kind of lubrication to help me get through this. And if you're listening to this podcast, it is cookies or pie or chocolate or gummy bears or chips or cereal or whatever. When in reality, you need to do less. The answer is to do less, right? Like my food was the most terrible. It was so awful when I had like 3 jobs. I was trying to do all the things all the time and I was just exhausted. But I had so much guilt about resting that I was just like, well, I guess I'll just eat. I guess that's what I'll do, right? You can't keep doing the same thing and expect to get a different result. So if your go-to is always, you know, at 3 o'clock, hit the vending machine, have a bunch of chocolate, have a bunch of candy, have a bunch of donuts, have a whatever, maybe we try something else. Maybe we lay down for a minute and we just decide one of these things isn't going to get done today. Because in the long run, when you're not binge eating, you're going to have so much more time, money, and energy. I promise you this. Because it takes so much time, money, and energy to keep this up. Okay, which kind of leads me perfectly into the third thing is that we build up this tolerance where it's kind of this internal vibration of, okay, I have to, it's almost like the stars all have to align and you have to have this, it's challenging for me to explain, but if you're listening to this, you might, but it's, you just internally, you need a higher threshold to be able to do things. Whereas like a quote unquote normal person just sits down and reads a book. You're like, I can't. Like you're going so fast. You're so used to living in so much chaos that for you to just sit and study or answer the emails or read your book or relax is so wildly uncomfortable because you've created that baseline for yourself. You've increased your tolerance. Because if you think back to the beginning of your binge eating days to like peak binge eating, right? Like at the beginning of my binge eating, it was never, I didn't start by slamming a dozen donuts, 2 boxes of cereal and 4 milkshakes, right? That was like peak, right? It started with like a couple of things here, a couple of things there, and it increased. I got quote unquote better at it. I learned better. I knew all the things. I knew all of it. Right? But I built up that threshold. You build that up within yourself. Same thing with the phone, right? Going back to that. So I had family here this weekend and I really, really worked hard to not be on my phone, not be on Instagram, not updating stories, not sharing every single thing that we were doing, even though I like kind of wanted to and I was excited and I wanted people to see it. I really didn't. I also didn't. I was like, I'm just going to leave my phone. And the first day or two, I noticed myself like, I should grab it. I should get it. I should do it. Da, 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 da. What's happening? And then by like 3 or 4, I noticed so much of that had softened. But in our brains, we're like, I'm going to die if I do this. It's going to last forever. The discomfort is going to last forever. And in reality, it's so not true. It actually passes a lot faster than we think. But this goes back to number one, is we create these massive scenarios in our brains. And then we need the food to comfort it. We're working against ourselves in so many ways. So we work to decrease that intensity or vibration that we need. Hopefully this third one makes sense. I can see how some of you are like, I don't know what you're saying. And I apologize if I'm not articulating it in the best way. And that's because it's so much of it is just purely emotional. And so it's hard to quantify it. It's hard to articulate it in a way that's measurable or to give a good example. But it's like, it's just you need so much external stimulation to be able to sit and do a very simple task. Your brain is so used to so much chaos and so much going and so much doing. It's very uncomfortable to just think about doing one thing. And again, this isn't something that you change overnight. We slowly taper this down. We slowly kind of pull it back so that you can, you know, instead of doing 17 things at once. It's like, I'm going to do 12 at once. Right? But we have to start doing something different to begin getting a different result. Okay, that's what I've got for you today. I hope that you got something from this. I hope that this was helpful. If you're interested in working with me one-on-one, I will leave the link to book a 30-minute consult call with me. This call is just for me to understand a little bit about you. I can tell you the different ways that we can work together, if I think we're a good fit, some options for you to get started, if it's not a good fit for you right now. Either way, you'll leave this call with more information and feeling better. I promise you that. So if that's something you're interested in, check the show notes, grab that. And I think that's it. Thanks for being here. I'll be back next week. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you're interested in learning the different ways we can work together, be sure to check out reneesager.com or give me a follow over on Instagram at reneesager. Slide into those DMs. I love getting to chat with you. And if you haven't, I would greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on. All right. Thanks for being here and stay ballsy.